is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, both of them, they came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. Anybody going to seek after his presence tonight, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? Monday, I want to dwell in his presence. On Tuesday, I need to be in his presence. On Wednesday, I got to be under his wings. On Thursday, I need to be under his side. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Why? Because in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock, and there's safety there. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And therefore, church, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Will you offer sacrifices of joy even now? Will you sing? Yes, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Did you come to sing praises because you know that in the time of trouble he did? He hid you in the secret place, in the secret of his tabernacle. He hid you in praise. So if you know that there's a danger and anxiety and stress swirling all around and you need to be hidden, you know where you hide? In praise. So give him even right now a sacrifice of praise, and he'll hide you and he'll set you in a safe place. Amen. And that's how we break up with anxiety. We offer up a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Anybody glad to be in the tabernacle? And even if you don't make it into the church house, you know you can be in his presence right where you are, on the bus corner, in your car, in your home. You can fall down before him and worship him, and he'll lift you up from whatever it is. Good evening, church. We are blessed to be together one more time on this Wednesday. How many of you were here a couple weeks ago when we did part one of Breaking Up with Anxiety? Amen. So that's where we're going to return. The Lord is allowing us to have part two tonight. And we don't know how many parts are, only God knows, but tonight is part two. Amen. We can never exhaust the teaching of the Lord, because as long as we're on this side, there's more that he would have for us to know about who he is and who we are in him. So tonight, you know, I'm kind of blocking the screen sometimes, and our desk is, so please sit somewhere where you're going to be able to see as much of the screen as possible. Amen. Also, if you weren't here for the first part of this, we're blessed, you know, to be able to have podcasts. So when we can't make it to Higher Ground or Sunday worship, we can listen online and be able to get the teaching. And even if you are here, we encourage that you go back and listen to the teaching again, because there's always more that the Lord will speak to us as we return to his word. So tonight, Breaking Up with Anxiety, part two. In the beginning, we're going to just kind of do a little bit of review. So some of these initial slides will be what we talked about the first time. And we know that God is faithful, so he'll continue to even build on that teaching. And then we'll move a little bit forward beyond that. So where we started, actually we mentioned that we started speaking about this back in 2017, and I found the notes from the previous Bible study, and it was in October that we that our topic was anxious for nothing. So God was even starting to talk to us about it a little bit then in the fall of last year. And then 2 weeks ago, we officially started this topic. So let's start where we started last time, which is with some definitions. And I'm going to kind of move through this again, because we had time with it 2 weeks ago. But I want to make sure that we at least have a familiar foundation together. So what we said was, and I'll read these definitions, these are the same. What is anxiety? If we're going to be breaking up with anxiety, we want to make sure that we have common understanding together about what it is. So anxiety can be described or defined as a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event. That means something that possibly is on the verge of or about to, imminent event, or something with an uncertain outcome. And we know what that means, an outcome or something that's going to happen that we don't quite know how it's going to happen. So it's the feeling of worry or nervousness or unease that's based on something that may happen soon or in the future, or because we don't know how something is going to work out. Anybody know about that, not knowing how something's going to work out? So anxiety is one of the options for feelings. Options is not a required response. Also, anxiety can be described or defined as a disturbed state of mind produced by real or imaginary fears. And that's from Strong's Concordance. A disturbed state of mind, you know, that if we could draw it, it's like a dark cloud that's all jumbled up. And it's the result of real or imaginary fears. Something that you can see, touch, know about, or something that you think is a possibility. And then the Greek word that we'll use most often for anxious that we in the readings that we do is mirumnate, and that simply again means to be anxious or troubled with cares. And in most of the scriptures that we refer to, it's that word that is used, to be anxious or troubled with cares. All right. So I think folks had the most fun with this next section that we talked about, because in order for us to talk about how we were going to break up with anxiety, what we had to first spend some time doing is coming to acknowledge the fact that we were in relationship with anxiety, and in different degrees and different amounts of time, and in different ways. So I think that was one of the places where many of us were stretched initially, was to think in ourselves, well, I know what anxiety is, but what are you saying, Minister D, is that I'm actually connected to it, I'm actually a part of it, it's a part of me. And so that's where we go next, it looks like. So, one of the first things we talked about was what is your relationship status with anxiety? So, for example, we understand this in terms of human relationships, right? A number of us of a certain age have had relationships with other persons. And so what is your relationship status with anxiety? Are you just meeting and crushing them? Are you in a long-term committed relationship? Are you officially married, like you and anxiety have been together for many, many years now? Think about in terms of anxiety and how you've been connected to it in your own life. How would you think about the status of that relationship? Is it on again, off again, more on than off, more off than on? What is your relationship status with anxiety? That's the first place where we get to check in with ourselves to see, okay, if I'm going to break up with it, first I got to be honest that we have been together. Amen? For some of us, that's the first obstacle. Well, we're not really together. We just spend time together. We just talk from time to time. We just share our deepest dreams together, but we're not really together. They know a lot about me. I know a lot about them. We met family, but we're not really together. So what truly, truly, truly in your heart, ask the Lord to reveal to you, is your connection with anxiety. And then our next slide talked about, well, you know, how long have you guys been together? Is anxiety, you know, someone that you were introduced to as a child? And you guys have just been hanging out your whole life? You've always had this feeling of anxiousness, of unease in response to things seen or not seen, real or imaginary fears? How would you think about the relationship? How long would you say? And nobody has to confess this out loud, but ask the Lord to show you. How long would you say that you have been committed to, here's the hard part, maintaining this relationship with anxiety? All right. So this was a slide that had the little kitty cat on it. I don't know if y'all remember that. But it's just saying, again, that many of us say that we're single, meaning I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me, you know, right? We sing all these songs about freedom, 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 that we're free now in the Lord, but we have this dirty secret that back at home, anxiety is waiting for us. Or when we get back to our car, we're immediately going to be anxious about this, that, or the other. And so, again, it's thinking for ourselves, well, what is the reality of how I'm connected with this thing called anxiety? And then, finally, we said that anxiety requires something of you. So, you know how if you were in a relationship at some time, you don't have to say anything or look at the person next to you. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. That's why I'm looking down most of the time. You know how you might be in a relationship with someone, and it could be a friend, but there's something about that relationship that they want you to tell people? Like, you know, why aren't you telling people that we're together? Any of this sound familiar? Like, they want it to be public. No, y'all not going to help me at all. Everybody's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you, one Deacon Eric, amen. But there are some relationships where people are proud of their connection and they want people to know. They want you to be proud and to share. And so the next question that we talked about was the fact that anxiety is demanding that you be public with it. Anxiety is not going to stay locked up at home like, you know, I'll just wait for you to get back. Anxiety is going to show up wherever you are. Anxiety is going to be a public part of who you are. And so if you think that that's something that you'll be able to just kind of tuck away for when you get back, anxiety doesn't work like that. It requires your heart. It requires all of you. And it'll continue to draw from you all of who you are until it becomes an all-consuming part of who you are. And so it's not a relationship where you just think that y'all are going to just, you know, kick it sometimes. Because anxiety is that which is attempting to take over all of who you are. So let us not play with it as if, well, I'll just be a little anxious and I'll maintain this crushing level of anxiety. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Okay. Let's see. All right, so I just had a bubble to bust. Did that show up? Okay. So before we go any further, just wanted to, and this is still a part of the review, but I don't think I said it the last time. Just again, we're reestablishing our foundation about what we talked about last time, about what anxiety is and our relationship with it. There's no such thing as a committed relationship with anxiety that is not abusive, violent, or predatory. I'll say that again. We were talking just a minute ago about how you can't just keep anxiety at a certain level in the corner. You know, like I'll just dibble and dabble and it won't affect me more than I want it to. There is no such thing as a committed relationship with anxiety that is not abusive, violent, and predatory. The Bible says that the enemy of our souls is like a roaring what? Lying, seeking whom he may devour. This is not, again, something that we think that we can just stick our toe in the water, test it out, and come back out without being affected. This idea of being in a relationship with anxiety such that it becomes a part of your life, we have to understand that it's designed to tear us down. It's sent to destroy the life that God has intended for us, to kill us, and there's nothing about it that is building you up. So we have to move beyond the point of thinking about how we feel when we're with it. how anxiety makes us feel, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We talked about 2 weeks ago. The reality is, to be anxious, to live in a state of anxiety, to be in relationship with anxiety is destroying you. Amen? It is not a healthy relationship. And sometimes that's the place where we need God to do the work on our heart, to just first see that this is not benefiting us. Okay. So we said, all right, we're all, you know, we're people of the book, as they say. That means people of the Word of God. And so we love Jesus, and we know anxiety is a bad thing. We could probably tell you that. Don't be anxious about anything. But if that's true, then one, why do we link in with anxiety? Why do we accept it? Why do we respond in anxiety? And why do we stay in relationship with anxiety? If we say it's bad, if we would tell someone not to be anxious, then why do we get together? And why do we stay together? And so the truth is, although we can say anxiety is abusive or violent or predatory, is meant to tear us down, and we believe that, there must be something about it that entices us in such a way that we think, well, this can be something beneficial for me. That's the truth, right? Otherwise, if you look at what's presented to you and it only looks bad for you, you're not going to take it. But if there's something on the inside, if there's something on the inside that interprets that thing as possibly going to be able to help you or do something for you, then you can invite it in. So the truth is, there are things about anxiety that have looked tempting to us, that have filled a space in our lives that it wasn't intended to fill. And so what we said, a couple of things last time that we said, reasons that we might give for being connected or in relationship and maintaining this relationship with anxiety. One of them is that we say, well, anxiety helps me to take care of other people. And I said last time, I'll say again today, if you had to write that down on paper, it doesn't make sense. If I said to you, well, I got to be anxious because it helps me to take care of my family, you would look at me cross-eyed because it doesn't sound right. But the truth is that many of our anxious responses, many of the actions that we take that are based in this anxiety about what might happen to them, it's because we would justify it by saying, well, that's how I have to take care of them. If I worry enough about them, then they'll be okay. Right? If I lose sleep at night thinking about what time they're going to come home, and I'm anxious enough about that, then maybe I'll be able to see them come in the door. And we know that those two things, one thing doesn't make the other happen, right? But the reason why we get together and we stay together is because it tells us, anxiety whispers in our ear, I'll take care of you, and I'll take care of those that you care about. And so we hold things tightly, and we don't breathe waiting for them to be better. Another reason why we tell ourselves, or we've convinced ourselves, that it's okay to stay with anxiety, because we say it helps us to take care of ourselves. So not just for others, but also for me. And it's along that same thinking. We had three P's that we focused on: why we get together and why we stay together. They were provision, preservation, and protection. Provision, preservation, and protection Our focus reference for that was from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, and I'll just read the first couple of lines of that, which says, therefore I tell you, and Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So Jesus says to those who are listening, to those who will hear, don't worry about your life. Well, that pretty much kind of covers the basis, right? For all of them, my taking care of myself and my people, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, those are other things that we often are anxious about, or about your body, what you will wear. So again, what it is a lie that anxiety tells us, is that I will provide for you. If you just worry enough, I'll make sure it happens. I'll keep you, and God alone is our keeper. I'll protect you. If you just get yourself tight enough, we'll make sure that you're okay. And the truth is that Jesus says, don't worry about your life. The Lord takes care of all those things. And so how much time and energy that we devote to being in connection and relationship with anxiety so that we can feel protected, so that we can feel kept, so that we can feel provided for. And no one apart from the Lord has done any of those things or can do those for us. A couple of other reasons we identified, and the verses are here. I'll just read them for why we get together and stay together with anxiety, why we remain in relationship. The first one, it says self-defense. And that was when we said that we think that anxiety will help you to prepare to defend yourself. So like if you worry about that thing all week long, then you'll be ready with the comeback when they say something crazy. And in the meantime, you've lost a week of peace. You've lost a week of joy because you've been geared up for the fight that the Lord already said, I'll take care of for you. And so the reference for that is Luke chapter 12, verse 11. Which simply reads, when you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So self-defense, anxiety, no thank you, we're good. Next one is our attention, focus, and energy. We stay together with anxiety because it gives us something to do. Some of us, every time someone speaks to us or is in conversation with us, is a conversation full of anxiety and worry. And that's just what we do all day. It's like our companion. It's what we focus on when we wake up in the morning, and it's what we go to sleep at night, worrying and anxious about everything. And Colossians 3, 1 and 2 tells us to not set our focus, our heart, and our mind on worrying or on anxiety, but on things above where Jesus is. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And then finally, one thing that we said was a reason why we're anxious and we stay together with anxiety is because it gives us a sense of control. But how many know that's a false sense? You're not in control. I don't care how many days you stay awake worrying about what's going to happen. It does not empower you to change the circumstance. Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20 says, the Lord is the head of all things, and it's God who holds everything together. So we can go to sleep. Our anxiety doesn't give us any more control versus being in a state of peace. It's okay. It's okay to relax your shoulders. It's okay to lay down. It's okay to take a nap. It's okay to rest. It's okay to trust God, to know that God really is in control, for real, for real. Like, for real, for real. Not like, I know you're in control, Lord, but let me just, how about if I just wait with you? We'll stay up together, Lord, to make sure this thing works out well. Anybody ever help Jesus? Okay, all right, I'm going to tell the story. Okay, and then we're going to move on, Reverend Pipham. So one time there was a hurricane, and I thought that if I stayed awake until it was over, that somehow things would be safe in my house. by myself. Can you think of a circumstance where you just kind of held your breath through the whole thing, thinking that, you know, if I just stay alert, that's what it is. If I stay alert, then I can know if something is going wrong and do something about it. Come on. If I just keep watching and making sure everything's all right. Hey, what's that? What's that? What's going on? What's that noise? Who's doing that? Who's over there? What did they say? What did they say in the meeting? Who called who? What did they post? Put it all together. I'm going to figure this thing out. That somehow our presence in the situation, beyond the time in which the Lord told us to stay in a part of it, he told you to get away out that conversation, to go on about and go do something else. But your presence, you thought, would make sure that things would be okay. That's a false sense of control. The Lord, he holds everything together. Don't y'all judge me. Okay, the truth, some truth to combat those lies that it gives us control, that, you know, it's something that we can just think about all day and it won't do any damage, or that anxiety provides for us, is our constant friend, any of those things. The truth is that anxiety tears us apart. And we learned that the way that the Greeks wrote the word merimnate, it literally means to pull into pieces. So when they were describing anxiety, they really meant that your body, your soul, everything was really divided and ripped apart. And how many know that when you're anxious, you're everywhere at the same time. You're a mess. You can't focus. I know, babe, you can't focus. How can God to speak to you when your mind is divided? Anxiety tears us apart. Anxiety, the truth is that anxiety is a weight around our heart. And the verses are Proverbs 12:25. You can't worship. Proverbs 12:25. Luke 21:34. And they both say to be careful about your heart being weighed down with anxiety. Be on guard, Luke says. You have to fight for this. Anxiety, again, there's nothing healthy about this relationship. Anxiety wants to rip you apart, wants to weigh down your heart. How can God use that if you're divided, if your heart is so burdened and heavy that you can't hear him? He could be right there and you can't sense his presence. Because God is not moving. Instead, now we're booed up with anxiety and we can't talk to the Lord anymore. You know how some friends, when they got somebody, you don't hear from them anymore. Are we so connected with anxiety that our hearts are so far from God now? Because the places that the Lord wants to fill, to protect us, to provide for us, to keep us, now we've said, no, my worry will do that. And then anxiety hinders us. It hinders us. It hinders our growth. It drags us down. The ministry that God has given us, we are bound and shackled. We think we can freely come and go in a relationship, but you'd be surprised when you really start to unpack the depths of the relationship. You would be surprised that it ain't that easy. So it tears us apart, it weighs us down, is a weight around our heart, and anxiety hinders us. So that's where we kind of covered last time. And what I just want to go through as we can tonight. First, we want to acknowledge, since last time, 2 weeks ago, we want to say very clearly that breaking up with anxiety is a process. Can God do it in an instant? Absolutely. We believe that God is sovereign. God can do whatever God decides to do. What we don't want to do is frustrate ourselves because we thought that when we left here 2 weeks ago and everybody was, oh, Jesus, Guess what, girl? Who was on the phone? You know you was on the phone. I broke up with anxiety tonight. It was Wednesday night, right? Thursday morning. You know you hear me. Open the door. So I think it might be helpful that we think about that this is a process, because our sanctification, our refining, our unlearning, our growing in grace, all of it occurs through our living out the everyday life, right? So we confessed that. We confessed that Wednesday 2 weeks ago that we were broken up. That didn't mean that anxiety lost your number. After all, remember we said you had set up a room for anxiety? It was comfortable, it was a part of who you were. Perhaps your family, your children knew it because you had introduced it to them. And so, process, think of it process. Just like sin is waiting for us each day when we wake up before our feet hit the floor. Some of us, we get one eye open and we better start praying fast. This relationship will call you back. How many of us thought about this breaking up thing 2 weeks ago when we started? I'm not taking names or anything. But when we left here, anybody think about it? Like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to see about this breaking up thing with anxiety. Anybody? Well, if you thought about it when we left 2 weeks ago, how many people can say that right away, maybe the next day, you were presented with an opportunity to re-enter into responding anxiously? Did it happen that night for anybody? That persistent partner that you've had for all these years, you thought that it was just going to go away because you were in worship and you said all of a sudden we're done. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So the thing about dusting is I can't figure out how to dust and then it's done, like done. You know, in your house, you dust. And what happens about an hour later? You come back and doesn't mean you have a dirty home, but it means dust is the accumulation of things that are shed because we're alive. So old skin or hair or things that are in the air. So you keep living, right? And you dust anxiety away. You keep living in this world, you will be confronted with opportunities to be anxious, to re-enter that relationship, to remain in that relationship. And it's familiar. For some of us, it may be the go-to response, right? It's what you've been doing for so long. You know, the default that you have, like on a phone or something. So just think about it, that it's an ongoing process. We are always being recreated in the Lord. God is always willing to strengthen and build us back up. So what I want to do is give you these three things that I think may be what we can say are the cost of breaking up with anxiety. Let me get these down. These are new. So count the cost. That means think about what it just might take for you to break up with anxiety. Be very, very real with what will be required, just as any part of living a new life in Christ requires us to do something. It requires us to sacrifice something. So breaking up with anxiety, our slide says, one, is a process that requires our complete dependence on the Lord. Breaking up with anxiety is a process that requires our complete dependence on the Lord. Now that already might, for some of us, be like, okay, well, never mind, I'm good. Because it's easier said than done, right? And we're talking about truth. The truth is complete dependence on the Lord. Complete is a big word. That means everything. Many of us turn to the Lord to depend on God for those moments when we can see that, okay, I think there's nothing I can do about this. I depend on you, Lord, please. Please come heal. Please come deliver. Please come set free. Please come rebuild. But complete dependence doesn't mean selective dependence. It doesn't mean depending on the Lord when we think that we run out of our own options. It means that in every aspect of our life, in all things, we are depending on the Lord. So in order to break up with anxiety, we've got to grow in the Lord such that everything that we are falls back on him. And that means that you allow him to be your Lord completely. And that requires the second thing. Breaking up with anxiety will require thought modification. Thought modification. That means thinking new thoughts. Thinking thoughts as the Lord thinks. Thinking as Jesus thinks. Having our mind renewed by the word. You can't break up with him, her, this, that, or them, and you still thinking the way that you thought when you got together with him, her, this, that, and them, because there was a reason why you got together. There was something that you thought about this, them, her, him, it, that they would be able to do for you or with you or something. And so now, in order to break up with that, to sever the ties of that, to disconnect the chains and the bondage and the stronghold that's been dragging you down, you've got to ask the Lord to renew your thinking so that you think higher and above that. And only by thinking differently can we completely depend on the Lord, because we think we depend on God until God shows us, I know you did. Bless your heart, baby. You did. You thought you depended on me for everything, but what about this? Oh, no, Jesus. Me and anxiety, we got that. Complete dependence on the Lord. Thought modification. Allow God to change your way of thinking. And then the third one says, breaking up with anxiety will require behavioral adjustment. Behavioral adjustment. How are we going to depend completely on the Lord if we're doing the same things that we've been doing? If you continue to do the same things that you're doing, you're going to get the same thing that you got. And how many see that these things are all connected? If I want to break up with anything that's not like the Lord, Lord, you got to show me how to do something different, because what I'm about to do right now is going to get me the result that I had before. And then I'm going in a circle, breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together. You've been there. You know this. Because your thoughts are the same. What got you into it the first time, we're going the same. Your behaviors are the same. Breaking up with anxiety is a process that requires complete dependence on the Lord, thought modification that only comes from the Holy Spirit. This is not a book you can read apart from God's word, and behavioral adjustment. So, those three things, keep a pen in that. Keep that in your forefront of your mind. And I want to bring up this scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We've heard that before, right? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Break up with anxiety. Just sever the ties. The word tells us not to be anxious. Is it enough just to say don't be anxious? Has that worked for anybody? So, The word says don't be anxious, but the word also shows us how to not be anxious. So we're not just saying break up with anxiety and just do it. But God's word also gives us ways in which we can move through this process. And I think it's in part of it is in here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. First thing, in every situation, it says. Don't be anxious about anything, verse 6 said, but in every situation. In what? In every situation, Lord? Do not be anxious about anything. That already almost was a lot. But in every situation. So here's our little friend. He has a clipboard. Because then what we're going to start doing is saying, in every situation, then we're going to start itemizing our situations and saying, clearly, Lord, you don't mean for me to not be anxious about this. But you know that this is going on, Lord, but that's another situation. You're saying don't be anxious in that too. You're saying to break up with anxiety for all these things, all the concerns of my life. In every situation, the Bible says, and that returns us back to our Matthew chapter 6 passage. Back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. You remember, we just read it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. And the Lord goes on to explain this whole picture of things and possibilities of reasons for us to be anxious. But the Bible sounds pretty clear to say in everything, in all things, for nothing, in every situation. So breaking up with anxiety can happen. We've got to address it in every situation. In every situation, it said, by what? By prayer. So German theologian, his name is up here. You don't have to write any of this down. His name was Johann Albrecht Bengel. In 1742, he wrote a commentary on the New Testament, or some notes on the New Testament. And he wrote this phrase that's up there. It's in Latin, if we got any Catholic school people from way back in the day when they used to make people learn Latin. Curare et orare. And it means care and prayer. And what he said was that there are care or anxiety and prayer are more opposed to each other than fire and water. Anxiety and prayer are more opposed to each other than fire and water. You know how different fire and water are? What he's saying is anxiety and prayer, they don't function in the same space. So if God is saying to us in every situation to break up, the first thing, by prayer, anxiety has to live over there if prayer is living here. So what is one of the choices about what we ought to be doing if we want anxiety to live over there? And right. Does your house say a house of prayer? Anxiety not welcome here? Maybe we ought to make up some signs for us more than anything. But if those two things can't operate in the same space, you don't have time to converse and hang out with anxiety because you're in prayer. Prayer is used here in the scripture that we just read, Philippians 4, as conversation or communication that's only for God. And it can be prayers of adoration. Oh, Lord, how beautiful you are. Lord, you are creator of all things. Lord, you sit high and you look low. Lord, you are magnificent. Nothing specific. But if you're so busy talking to God and pouring into God and in communication that's only for the Lord, where's that old friend at? Wanting to get in, but there's no space now. Right? So that anxiety's gotta go. By prayer and petition, it says. So we've got some things we can do. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, all things, by prayer and petition. Petitions are a little bit different. They are prayers, but they're prayers with specific meaning or specific with specific words. So things like, Lord, I need you right now to help me. I'm feeling anxious, God, about this. God, please help my children. Anxiety used to do that for you, right? Worry used to be the one that you would go to in order to make that thing okay, or you would think that it was just going to be okay because you were together and y'all would work it out. But now you're no longer needed. We've broken up, remember? You've been replaced by the one who actually can do something about it. Petition. And the Bible often connects petition or request with thanksgiving. Those two things tend to go together. Thanksgiving. One thing I read said, thanksgiving is an important part of true prayer. The recalling of God's goodness and mercy will save us from many pitfalls which await the ungrateful soul. So what is it that thanksgiving does when we pray and when we bring our specific petitions or requests to God? It reminds us that God can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who can actually do the thing that I was worried about. Thank you that you reveal yourself to me, that you are the God who is concerned about these things. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left me. Thank you, Lord, that you're building me up and not tearing me down like that old friend anxiety. There's nothing about these passages that suggest that we got to do this by ourselves on our own strength. The Bible doesn't say, don't be anxious about anything, figure it out and get it together. It says, everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And the source is God. Be anxious for nothing. And the way that you can do that is to turn your focus away from anxiety and turn it toward the source of your joy, the source of your peace, the source of working it out. So I want to just go through with you an example of how this might work. I was riding around today, and this afternoon something happened, and I had an opportunity to be reunited with anxiety, right? And so I started laughing because I was like, you fool, you're teaching a lesson about not being anxious and breaking up with anxiety, and there was nothing that occurred to me to trying to put into practice these things which we're saying. Because remember, we've spent more time with anxiety than we have not. Amen? And so our quick, immediate response may be to go and to just start worrying about it. But then thank God for the Holy Spirit who says, no, your mind has been renewed. You're thinking differently now, and so behave differently. You see how these connect? Now that we're being renewed, we can depend on God in those circumstances because we have new thoughts. You do. You have new thoughts. You have new behaviors that the Lord is sending you as to how to think about and how to move through these moments when you can be anxious. And so I just practiced. I said, okay, well, what did the slide say? The slide said something about prayer and petition. So first I just prayed, Lord, thank you for being the creator. You're the one that's from yesterday and today, and you're the one that's in the future, so you already know how this is going to work out. Oh, wait, I feel a little bit better already. I'm breathing again. And then what's the next one? Petition? Okay. Lord, you know that they need this, and then this one needs that, and so can you just send that and give me rest and tell them what they need to do? Thank you, Lord, for being God who's listening to me right now. What? It works? God's word works. Sometimes we know a thing up here in our, we know a thing, but it's that next step of putting it into practice. And so when you are tempted to go to a place where you be reunited with anxiety, do what the word says do. Even in this one passage of scripture, we have an option. We have a way out. The Lord gives us a way out to pray, to offer our petitions to God. when we can pray, Psalm 139:23, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my cares or my anxious thoughts. We want to have our minds recreated. Ask the Lord to come in and to test and to show you what it is that's anxiety, that is anxiously working your brain to death. Have you been living as a part of it for so long you don't even realize it is anxiety anymore? Ask God to show you, to shine his light in. Ask the Lord to send you a way to behave differently when you're confronted with an opportunity to pop off and hurt somebody. Because you're either afraid or protecting yourself or providing. Amen? This is truth. When we feel lonely or afraid, uncertain, hopeless, or anxious, we have a recourse in God's word. Psalm 94, we read last time, Psalm 94:19. And it says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. God's peace is available to us. Our behaviors can be transformed. We can learn how to depend on him so much so that there is nobody, nothing sent from the enemy, no person created that can take the place of the one who can meet our every need. And then when it's all said and done, don't forget to offer thanksgiving so that we can be reminded that God is our keeper and that every day we're breaking up with anxiety, God will love us through the process. Amen? Amen. Would you celebrate the Lord for his word? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your teaching tonight. We thank you for the prayers of the saints. We thank you for the testimonies tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that your presence is ever patient with us, ever present, always walking us through those new things. So even right now, whatever was spoken, oh God, we pray that what you sent to each one of us, that we were able to grab hold of it, or that you would bring it back to us, oh God. We thank you that you are concerned about us growing more in you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help us even right now to sever ties with anything that's not you. We just want you, oh God, you alone. And to you alone do we give great praise. And if there is anyone here, oh God, who wants to live a life without anxiety, Lord God, help them to know that first they've got to know the one who keeps us away from anxiety, the one who can provide for our every need, and that's you, Jesus. So if there is someone here tonight, oh God, who does not yet know you as Savior, doesn't know you as the Lord of their life, we pray that even tonight that they would come to meet you. And so if there is one here, we ask that you would please come and speak with one of the leaders who are here tonight, and we'll walk you through the process of coming to know Jesus. And it's as simple as accepting him as your Savior, that he died for you, which he did because he loves you, that he rose again and has the gift of salvation for you. That is the beginning of walking a life disconnected from anxiety, disconnected from all the things that this world has to offer. We thank you for these, your people tonight, oh God. We pray even for the offering that has been prepared, that you sent to us, that we can give back to your kingdom tonight. Bless all those as they leave this place. Cover us and keep us in your care. And we love you, and we love you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Trustee, if you do have an offering tonight, a seed to sow back into the ministry of God's kingdom, we would ask that you would bring it forward tonight. And everybody have a great night.